You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te Wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
Between October 2019 and April 2020, an armed police trial was undertaken by the New Zealand Police in three districts in counties Manukau, Waikato and Canterbury. A number of issues with the trial have arisen. News Hub reported over the weekend that although armed response teams were meant to be focused on crimes that cause quote-unquote significant risk, data obtained by News Hub Nation found that the team was most often used at traffic stops. There has also been criticisms as to the lack of consultation undertaken by the armed response teams launched in October last year. Radio New Zealand reported that Māori were not consulted despite the major risk identified by the working group overseeing the trial that armed response teams could disadvantage Māori. With the results of the trial expected at the end of this month, I spoke to Chester Burrows about the ramification of armed police in Aotearoa. He is the head of the Safe and Effective Justice Advisory Group, which is tasked with assisting the reform of New Zealand's criminal justice system. I began by asking about his comments on recent reports of armed police.
Well, I think if the police were straight up, the reason why they wanted to have armed response teams was probably because it's when they call out the armed offender squad, which they use for the sort of work, they have to draw them away from other duties. It takes time to get them up and on the road, and so they wanted to trial something like that. So then if they created a team that was armed and tooled up all the time, they would have a quicker response when something went wrong. And that's probably why they used the March 15 tragedy as a justification for it. But later on, it was quite telling to see that the police said, well, we're not going to have them sitting around doing nothing. In other words, we're going to use them for general duties as well. And then that has an inflationary effect, because what the frightening thing about that was, it was going to introduce military-style weapons and handguns into situations that were just general duties, where in other situations police would tend to talk or use their force personality to achieve an objective rather than have the option of lethal force right there and handy. I think they were also a little bit disingenuous too, because they didn't point out to the public that a heck of a lot, if not nearly all, police cars have firearms in them anyway. So they talk about routine arming of the police, and the police are routinely armed now. So that's probably where it came from, in my view, and they were moving towards... And I think they're moving towards an objective of having the routine arming of police with guns on hips, and that's pretty scary for most of us. The fact that they hadn't consulted well is just another slight on a trial that didn't really appear to be a trial, but appeared to be a step towards an objective.
Based on these reports, do you think armed patrols should be a permanent part of the New Zealand police?
No, I don't. I need to acknowledge to start with that there are a hell of a lot of guns out there, and there is a real threat to police because criminals are armed on a routine basis, and we've seen that with the rapid increase of methamphetamine use and those sorts of things. Firearms offences are very much with us, and we need to think of a way to respond to that. I guess my question is, why do we need to move from the situation we've got at the moment, where there's an awful lot of police patrol cars which are armed, carrying firearms in the boot or the glove box? Depending on the patrols, they're carried on the person. And why do we need to move from that towards a SWAT, American SWAT type of situation? And I think most New Zealanders would say no, we don't. and the other half of New Zealanders would say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you've got nothing to worry about. But that isn't an argument, given the situation we know around who is the likely target of these vehicles and these type of initiatives.
When you say having specific targets, do you believe there could be a institutional racism within the New Zealand police? Because quite a lot of people are tending to say that.
Well, what we know is that institutional racism exists, and the recently retired police commissioner said so. So it's not a whole lot of, hairy-legged jandal slappers saying this stuff. Actually, the officials investigating it recognise that institutional racism is real. The other thing we need to acknowledge is that a Maori person is six times more likely to be pulled over and spoken, dealt with by the police. In fact, the Maori get the sort of bad end of every statistic in outcomes in the criminal justice system, closely followed by Pacific Islanders. Now, knowing that that is the situation, you would tend to think then that a police service that was really onto it would work a lot harder to try and to change that statistic or to work out different ways in dealing with people rather than lethal force. And I think that's where we need to go here.
Regarding that, do you think there should be something like bias training within police ranks?
Well, I'm sure there is some sort of training. I guess it's probably tikanga type training and that sort of stuff, but there needs to be an acceptance for a start that bias is there and then work back from there. So I would agree with you, there does need to be some bias training in respect of that.
Regarding on the recent situation in the United States, do you think policing in New Zealand will be getting more difficult in the coming years or maybe in the close future?
Well, I think policing has generally got more difficult over time because there's been a move away from sort of collective morality that New Zealand experienced post the war and the introduction of new drugs and new activities that didn't exist then. And then the other thing is, of course, is the huge ability for people in New Zealand to see what's happening in the other side of the world. So what I'm afraid of is that we'll have our own tragedy here and people will respond, think that they need to respond in the same way that they've responded in the United States, not just with protesting but with an explosion of anger, which is totally predictable given what's happened in the States over the last, you know, 200 or 300 years. It's no surprise that people end up responding violently to a situation that they say is completely unjustifiably violent by the police on Mr. Floyd.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.